If you're trying to recover from infidelity, these are things not to say to your partner, both from the perspective of the unfaithful partner as well as the betrayed spouse. So if you're the unfaithful partner, first off, don't claim that it didn't mean anything. This can sound reassuring in your own head, but what it actually feels like is, okay, you risked everything for something meaningless, so what does that make me? It minimizes the impact, it's very avoidant, and it makes the betrayed partner feel even more replaceable. Like they meant less than nothing. That's what it logically means if it means nothing. Instead, focus on figuring out for yourself what it did actually mean. Because it meant something. You don't do things for no reason. Whether it's escape, validation, avoidance, whatever it is, own the reality of what it was. Second thing not to say is, I already answered that. This treats trauma like it's just some logic problem. Their questions fundamentally aren't about information, it's about safety. So if they're repeating it, it's because they don't feel safe. If they're asking you the same thing they've asked you a million times before, it's because they still don't trust you and they don't trust that they're in a safe environment. So instead of saying that you've already answered it, either just answer it again calmly, or address the fact that they don't feel safe and you want to know what you can do to help make them feel more safe. Another thing to avoid saying is anything along the lines of, well, I'm confused. You were fine earlier. Why are you upset about this again now? It's similar to the previous point, but this conveys the message that their pain is inconvenient to you. Again, focus not on the logic of whether they've healed from one particular aspect of it. Address where they're at in the moment. Don't say, why do you keep making everything about the affair? And the reason their mind is doing that is because everything is now being processed through this lens of broken safety. Their brain tags the affair as the primary threat. So everything is connecting back to it automatically. They're not meaning to. To use a metaphor here, it'd be like asking someone why they keep hearing fire alarms going off when they're in a burning building. It's like, because you're in a burning building, that's why the fire alarms are going off. Another thing not to say is that it was so long ago. The time that it happened really doesn't matter. The process of healing starts when the infidelity is discovered. And so especially if it was a long time ago, but your partner is just now learning about it happening, they haven't processed it. The other person is just waking up to it. You're on different timelines, not the same one. This should go without saying, but telling your partner you need to calm down probably isn't the best idea. And it's not just because it's annoying like it usually is to be told to calm down. But what they really need is co-regulation. They need someone to talk to them or hold them, or you know your partner well. You should be able to understand what can actually help them to calm down in that moment. Being told to calm down isn't going to do it. What can you do to actually provide that sense of calm and peace for them? Another thing not to say is anything that begins with the idea of, well, if you hadn't done fill in the blank. Sometimes people try to frame this as, well, I'm just being honest about what led to this and if we had been in a better spot and this and that, but infidelity is still a choice. This is blame shifting. It really destroys any chance of rebuilding safety. Because what this is saying is that if it's ever bad again, you're going to do the same thing again. There is a time to address relationship issues, but not before you own everything that you've done completely, and not when it's in the context of something that they're upset about. Another thing that might surprise you that is not helpful to say is, it won't happen again, just trust me. Trust is not rebuilt through mere promises. Promises are important, but it's rebuilt through pattern recognition over time. Because it wasn't supposed to happen the first time either. For most people that this happens to, vows were already made. It's already been shown that your word by itself is not enough. Words without change are just mere noise. There needs to be some real tangible evidence that things are different. Another thing not to say is, I didn't tell you because I was just wanting to protect you. Frankly, this is just being controlling and trying to disguise it as being caring. People have a right to know the truth. People have a right to their own reality. The only person you were protecting was yourself from consequences, not them from pain. Real repair looks like giving them full access to the truth. there is an argument to be made that every tiny little detail, especially when it pertains to sexual things, might not be helpful for them to know. But err on the side of, even with that, if they're in a good, calm state, telling them whatever they want to know. And then by far the worst thing that you can do is to claim that the affair is over and swear upon it when it's not actually. That's not just a repetition of the same lie. It's a much deeper lie. It's much worse to continue to lie about it once you've been caught. It resets the entire healing process and makes recovering from it twice as hard at least. And this is frankly where most relationships hit emotional rock bottom. And please note that even if you take some of my suggestions here and you say the right thing, it's still very possible that your partner will still feel unsafe. Because the issue isn't just what you say, it's whether your behavior consistently matches that. And so there's words, there's the behavior behind it, but then at the deepest layer, there's also the question, why did this happen in the first place? Again, whether it's escape, validation, avoidance, identity issues, any of those things, and genuinely working on that layer. If you're not doing that, you're not giving your relationship a chance to survive. Now, what about from the betrayed spouse's perspective? What are some things that they should not say? Number one, I just need to know everything over and over again, compulsively, talking about it 24/7. Wanting answers is normal, but endless interrogation becomes torment for both you and the unfaithful partner. There is a line where clarity turns into re-traumatization. You don't heal by re-watching the same scene 100 times. It's like picking at a wound over and over and over again and never giving it a chance to heal. The second thing that's not that helpful to say is, if you really ever loved me, you would have never done this. If that is genuinely what you believe, that they never loved you and they still don't love you, then reconciling really doesn't make a lot of sense. What this is doing is it's turning your pain into a test that they can't pass retroactively. There's no way for them to overcome that argument. There's no way for them to prove by changing the past that they did in fact love you. If you're going to make things work, you have to believe that love and behavior are not the same thing. The real question should be focused on, who are they now? Do they love you now? And if your conclusion is that they genuinely didn't love you before, but they do love you now, that is still the main focus. So reminding them of how they didn't love you in the past isn't that helpful at this point. Making overly certain claims about the status of the relationship from the betrayed spouse typically isn't that helpful either. Saying things like, I'll never be able to trust you again. That might be true. It's probably what you're feeling, but it locks you into this permanent state. It turns trust into this binary thing when really it's more of a spectrum. What you can say is that, I don't trust you yet. Another unhelpful thing to say from the betrayed spouse is, tell me again and don't leave anything out this time. It comes from this fear of being fooled again and this desire to eliminate all uncertainty. But if they're going to tell you the truth, they're going to tell you the truth. If they're going to lie, they're going to lie. Trying to just catch them by surprise. I know it's a weird example, but if you ever have had a jar that's tough to open, something funny that I've seen people make videos and jokes about is how, for some reason, we act like if we just catch that tight lid on the jar by surprise, suddenly we'll open. It doesn't make sense, but we do it. And this is the type of energy that the betrayed spouse often brings to these types of conversations, acting like, if you can just come in super intense and say, I need the full truth, I need this, I know you're hiding something from me. Like, you might be right that they are, but that approach is not going to get you anywhere. Another thing that's not helpful to say from the betrayed spouse is, I feel crazy, I must be overreacting. This is actually just internalized gaslighting. Your reactions make sense given what has happened. The problem isn't that you feel too much or that you're too much as a person. It's that you don't feel safe. And that makes perfect sense why you don't. Another thing that you might be tempted to say is, I just need more reassurance. Reassurance gives you short-term relief. But it strengthens this long-term loop that you get stuck in with this person where you are insecure about what they're doing or how they feel about you. You reach out to them in one way or another to get them to assure you. You feel better for just a second, but then even sooner the next time, you need like that next hit of assurance. Now, assurance is a normal thing to expect in a relationship. but watch how often you say it. And then one more thing that's not helpful to say is, I have to decide right now whether to stay or to leave. This creates pressure. And when you're in a moment of needing to make a difficult decision, adding pressure on top of it never is helpful. Most people, what they actually need isn't a decision, they need stability. And you can exist in this uncomfortable gray area for a while, I promise. You want your eyes wide open, but not rushing things. You need to take in the information that's available to you. And some of you will know right away what you need to do. And you still might need time to put things in order to be able to do it, both emotionally and logistically. So don't feel like you have to rush to do anything. Now, most advice when it comes to reconciling is focused on what this video is focused on. Saying the right things, understanding the trauma, communicating better. But the reality is that you can say everything perfectly and the relationship is still stuck. You can understand everything logically and still feel unsafe, because the real issue isn't just words or communication. For most people, the pain is not just about what happened, it's about what your mind has turned it into. There's a bigger story about your worth, your judgment, your safety in relationships, your past, your present, your future. And that's where the majority of the healing needs to take place. The rest of it is extremely important too. You need an approach that really covers all of it. But I think a lot of people view relationships and recovering from this as learning how to walk super carefully on broken glass so as not to get cut. I think that the real healing, though, is removing the glass entirely, cleaning up the glass. So yeah, there might be a few shards here and there that you weren't able to get. But cleaning that out, which is the emotional healing, the personal healing first, I think is super important.